forgiveness. It's a beautiful word. Forgiveness, a word of peace and hope and grace. It's a word of freedom. And yet so many today never experience God's forgiveness and the freedom that comes with it. God longs and desires to free you from the bondage and the enslavement and the shackles of sin. God longs to take all of your past and mine and all of our present. He wants us to have that gift of forgiveness. You know the scriptures. We have read them often. We have studied them together. Paul wrote in Romans 3, quoting from the Psalms. Romans 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. All have turned away. They have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. But then a little later, Paul wrote in Romans 5, but you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a promise. A promise of forgiveness found in Scripture. The Bible is filled with stories of men and women who were freed from sin, freed from bondage, freed by God's forgiveness. Now, I know you think, well, yeah, those were Bible people. If your name made it into the Bible, you're one of those few special holy people. I mean, yeah, that's easy to read their name and to see they were just different, those Bible people. Were they? Abraham. Yes, Father Abraham, the father of the faith, a great faithful servant of God who said, I will go where you lead me. And then he lied right in God's face. Moses, who had that divine call through that burning bush, said, I'm not a good speaker, I can't do it, but I will go. Moses, a faithful leader, who murdered a man and hid his body. And Moses may have had just a little temper as well. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that's a good son, a twin, who lied to his father on his father's deathbed. Pretty cunning. Samson, God gave him great strength. But Samson had a great weakness when it came to women. David, a man after God's heart. David, anointed by God, chosen by God. Never a king in all the world to lead Israel like David. God's heart, his heart won. Committed adultery and murdered as well. Of all the people that Jesus should choose for 3 years to walk and do ministry with, pick any of the 12, pick any of the disciples, all of them had a lot of baggage. Peter, so bold, so strong, what a leader. I don't know Jesus. denied him three times when Jesus needed him the most. Paul, the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher ever, who persecuted Christians whose hands were covered with blood of the early church. Yes, the Bible is filled with fallen, confused, messed up sinners, just like us. Sinners bound in the chains of guilt. Sinners captive in their own sin. But listen, don't miss this word. If you have your Bibles, it's 1 John. I find myself going to it often. 1 John chapter 1. There in your home, find your Bible. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. God longs for us to accept His gift of forgiveness. God wants us to be free. The cleansing of our sin, it can be yours today. But I think two things are required. First, there must be a consciousness of sin, an awareness of sin. The Pew Research Group, PEW, Research Group, recently did a survey of Christians and their thoughts on sin. A lot of statistics. Let me just share two. 48% of those Christians who participated in the survey said, "I'm not sure really if all people sin." 48% of Christians. 34% of those in that survey said, "Well, we all make mistakes, but is that really sin? Boys will be boys." Many have adopted this philosophy. I have a great relationship with God. I am really, really good. I don't need to ask for forgiveness. I don't do a lot of bad things. I've never asked for forgiveness. If I ever do something wrong, which I probably won't, I'll just make it right. There's no need to bring God into this. But according to Scripture, God breathed, inspired Scripture, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the plan of God." Romans 6:23, "And the penalty," or the consequence, "the wages of that sin is we're separated from God." This text that I just read, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. We are not deceiving our family. They know us too well. We're not deceiving most of our friends. And news alert, we are not deceiving God. And I wonder if we're really deceiving ourselves. There's a Baptist scholar and theologian, W.T. Connor, for many years professor of theology at Southwestern Seminary. W.T. Connor wrote these words: "The reason that man is self-deceived is that he has not been enlightened by the indwelling truth of the gospel. He may have heard the gospel. He may have been attracted to the gospel. He may have admired the gospel, but he has not received that gospel into his inner being as the transforming power of God. One who has the truth of the gospel dwelling in him knows his own spiritual condition better than to say he has no sin. The closer one comes into fellowship with the God of spotless holiness, the more he will realize his own sinful condition and soiled character. If we are to ever experience the forgiveness which God longs to give, if you're ever to experience the shackles removed that sin binds you, you must first begin with a consciousness of sin. But you can't stop by just saying, yes, there's sin. There has to be a confession of sin. If, the text said, if we confess our sin. To confess is to admit our sin, to concede our sin. To confess is to agree with God what God already knows and what you know. To confess is to own it, to own your own sin. It's not simply acknowledging, oh, all sin. It's acknowledging that you sin, your sin, and agreeing with God. God, you know and I know, I confess I have sinned. God, I am a sinner. I'm sorry. I confess. God, forgive. Confession leads to repentance, and repentance leads to forgiveness, and it's all covered in grace. Confession of sin, hear me, confession of sin and a consciousness of sin will always bring cleansing from sin. Hear that word, verse 9, chapter 1, John, 1 John. If we confess, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us. Purify us from all our unrighteousness. Listen, God will do what he says he will do. God is faithful. And God is faithful to forgive. That is God's desire. Can you grasp that today? God is faithful and God longs to forgive your sin. Not because of who you are. Not because of who I am. Not because we are great Texans who live in East Texas. He longs to forgive us because of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The psalmist, Psalm 103, said, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression. As far as the east, as far as the west, they never meet. He has forgiven your transgression and your sin. I mentioned David, King David. Of all the people, God didn't look at the stature. God didn't look at what his heritage was. God looked at his heart. Samuel saw it. Samuel knew it. God led Samuel to say, you will be the anointed king. Yes, he sinned. I mentioned it. Adultery. Murder. Those are the big ones. I bet there were others. And then he wrote these words, Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. David said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me, God. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you. To you, O God, I acknowledged my sin. I didn't try to cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to you. And you, O God, forgave my sin. What freedom. What freedom. I think we hear these words, and it's not the first time that you've heard these words, but we almost say, Mark, that sounds too easy. It sounds too easy to have an awareness of sin and confess sin and to think that God is going to cleanse me from sin. It's too easy. It was not easy for Jesus to go to Calvary's cross and shed his blood. I don't understand all of that. I know that in the Old Testament, to have that fresh aroma to God to cover one's sin, a sacrifice was made. God saw the sacrifice, the blood, the atoning, and Jesus. And God's plan was that once and for all, Christ would be that substitutionary, atoning redeemer for you and for your sin. And when we confess our sin, he gives freedom. He releases you from that bondage. Why? Why would we choose to remain shackled and in bondage and in control of something that's been freed? Why do we choose to remain a slave to sin when God says you are free if you confess? God wants you to hear today. God wants us to hear and to take to heart. You can be free. You don't have to leave this sanctuary this morning as you came. And if you're there in your home, you don't need to get up and turn off the computer and your phone in the same way that you started. Right now, you can accept God's forgiveness. He wants you to have it. Oh, if I just hang on to my sin, if I don't accept it, surely God will be pleased. He is not pleased. That is a lie of Satan, that he longs to keep you in bondage. Satan longs to keep you defeated. Satan longs for you to walk around with your guilt. And God says, Jesus took it all. The hymn says, dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow. You may be today. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Won't you accept it? Not from me. From God. Let us pray. And so, God, you want us to be free. Your plan and desire for us is that we not be shackled and bound up by our sin. If we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but we've got to do it. We have to confess it. We have to admit it. We have to own it. And when we do, not because of us, but because of Christ, you you say, I don't see it. As far as east is from the west, it's washed, it's cleansed, it's removed. Oh God, that's grace. And you are a God of grace. And if we leave here today not accepting that grace, only we hurt. Only we make that choice. Thank you, God, for your grace and your forgiveness and the freedom that can be ours. Let us be free today. It's my prayer in Jesus' name.